Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday the 15th of January 2021. I'm joined by Callum, and before we start, you can of course go to lotuseaters.com and become a member of the site if you'd like to support us and get access to lots of very exciting premium content. I'm not going to bother shilling it today because I want to get straight into Jack Dorsey's grand plan. Jack Dorsey, after being the CEO of Twitter, and I don't want to have to go into the history of it, but recently, of course, as you well know, banned Donald Trump from the platform, which led to a cascade effect that got Donald Trump effectively deplatformed from everything, including certain banks, New York contracts, things like this. It appears to just be I don't know how to describe it other than the cathedral, the sort of left-wing establishment that all buys in to the left-wing narrative of the world, have all turned on him and done their best to deplatform him. And we got a statement from Jack Dorsey yesterday on Twitter, a series of statements in a long Twitter thread in which he essentially tries to justify this. Now, this led to Tim Pool essentially calling him evil on his podcast yesterday. Tim has spoken to him a number of times and just thinks that he's a flat-out liar. I also agree, frankly, and think Jack Dorsey sounds like something of a supervillain at this point, like a kind of Hank Scorpio or something, where he's in control of a remarkable amount of the online political discourse, and he's aware of it, and he's leveraging this power. But anyway, let's get into what he said. He says, "I do not celebrate or feel pride in our having to ban real Donald Trump from Twitter, or how we got here. After a clear warning we'd take this action, we made a decision with the best information we had based on threats to physical safety, both on and off Twitter. Was this correct?" No, I don't agree that that's correct. I don't agree that Trump threatened anyone. I don't agree that Twitter should have an editorial policy regarding censoring the President of the United States. I don't agree with any of this.
But you'll notice he says that based on threats, physical safety, both on and off Twitter. He doesn't mention those threats came from Donald Trump at all.
No, but what kind of physical safety can be threatened on Twitter?
Yeah, but the point of
all physical safety has to be threatened off Twitter.
But my point was more, you know, someone else threats physical someone's physical safety and I get banned?
Yeah.
Like, for what?
Well, yeah, but you're right. He's using deliberately vague language there. "I believe this was the right decision for Twitter. We faced an extraordinary and untenable circumstance, forcing us to focus all of our actions on public safety. Offline harm as a result of online speech is demonstrably real, and what drives our policy and enforcement above all." Okay, so, I mean, interestingly, Jack has just tied Twitter to violence. So if the deplatforming of Parler is justified by incitement to violence happening on Parler, well, Jack admits that the same happens on Twitter. Why should Twitter not get the same result? But what annoys me the most here is that Jack is acting like he's saving the world. He is attaching to himself an oversized significance in the play of politics. Public safety is not Jack Dorsey's responsibility. No one elected him to it. No one holds him accountable for it. His position in this is that he is the owner of a platform, not a publisher. There are agencies, laws, procedures in place to deal with people who commit crimes inspired by events on Twitter or not. Who elected Jack? The answer is nobody. He carries on. "That said, having to ban an account has real and significant ramifications. While there are clear and obvious exceptions, I feel a ban is a failure of ours ultimately to promote healthy conversation and a time for us to reflect on our operations and environment around us." That's staggering. I mean, like, it's a failure to be honest, really. And Trump did not call for violence, so silencing him is wrong, obviously. But the failure on Jack's part is not adopting a neutral stance towards the conversations that are taking place on Twitter and the interactions that are happening. But to be honest with you, doesn't everyone agree at this point that Twitter is what is driving the division? The radicalism that comes out, that is fomented by the left on Twitter, always comes, it informs the media, and several media outlets have banned their journalists from even using Twitter at this point, or at least recommended they stop using Twitter, and it obviously affects the way that politicians think. So Twitter appears to be radicalizing the political classes on the left.
Largely because the political right was late to the game of getting on Twitter, in my view.
Oh, like, completely.
And now you've started to see some radicalization, but not really on the right.
Yeah, absolutely. He carries on. Having to take these actions fragments the public conversation. They divide us. They limit the potential for clarification, redemption, and learning. And sets a precedent I feel is dangerous. The power an individual or corporation has over part of the global public conversation. I mean, I can hardly believe this is coming out of his mouth. He's saying, look, I'm a dangerous lunatic. I've got too much power. Why is everyone letting me have this much power? Is this a cry for help, Jack?
It's like disavowing himself.
Yes, he is. He is actually condemning himself in the position that he is in here. It's like, Jack, I'm pretty sure you could retire anytime you want. You know, you could just, I've got enough money, I'll just go off into the desert and be a hermit or something like that.
Let me look up his net wealth.
It's going to be millions. This is, I mean, deeply ironic in every way, because Jack has spoken about redemption before, but he's taken absolutely no action to show that he means it or is any way interested in it. It just seems to be a rhetorical platitude. He says because he knows it's what the people who oppose him want to hear, and it makes him sound like he's doing some sort of personal accountability, even though no one is he's not accountable to anyone, apart from, I suppose, the shareholders. And hopefully, I suppose, from his position, it keeps us in our place. I can't get over this. He disavows his own position. It's like, well, why are you taking it then? You hypocrite. Anyway,
Unless there's a gun to his head.
The check and accountability on this power has always been the fact that a service like Twitter is one small part of the larger public conversation happening across the internet. If folks do not agree with our rules and enforcement, they can simply go to another internet service. Oh my God. Like, it's just it's unreal. I can see why Tim Pool thinks Jack Dorsey is evil. You know, as I said, he just seems like a supervillain to me, a delusional supervillain.
You could just go elsewhere.
Yeah.
But we just banned it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Parler's gone.
John Matsey was like, well, we don't know if we're ever going to get Parler back online the way things are going, because they're getting deplatformed by just every company, because they've had this scarlet letter put on them by Silicon Valley, Apple, Google, and Facebook. And they're just like, well, you know, that's it. Sorry, nothing here. You're just dead. We have executed you. This digital execution is permanent. That's part of the cartel that Jack Dorsey's a part of. But yeah, and this is also, though, Jack openly declaring how he exercises Twitter's editorial power throughout this entire thread. He's saying, look, we have our own way of doing this, and you're going to... I mean, Twitter's editorial power and is baked into the rules, as Tim Pool pointed out, like the gender issue, right? If you misgender someone on Twitter, you get suspended. So... who on earth cares about that? Well, the answer is the radical left. And so this is a radical left-wing agenda that is being enacted in Twitter's own policies. And if you do object, they're going to get the entire platform you're on deplatformed. So, you know, this is just mad. And then the idea that he brings up accountability on power, there's no way of holding him accountable. And power exercised without accountability is tyranny. Arbitrary power is tyranny. And Jack Dorsey is not only admitting that he has arbitrary power, that it's not accountable to anyone, and that he laments this. So this is him sort of sorrowfully saying, well, I'm so sorry that I'm a tyrant. It's like, well, then you could stop being a tyrant at any point. Anyway, he carries on. The concept was challenged last week when a number of foundational internet tool providers also decided not to host what they found dangerous. I do not believe this was coordinated. More likely, companies came to their own conclusions or were emboldened by the actions of others. You liar. You absolute liar. We have seen this cartel in action multiple times. Right, the first one would be the deplatforming of me from Patreon. And then I went to a platform called Maker Support, which was in no way unusual. It was just a competitor. And that was deplatformed by the payment processors. And then we got to see the mass deplatforming of Alex Jones. And literally, all of the Silicon Valley tech CEOs were looking at Twitter because Twitter was the last one to do it. And Jack himself came out and said, well, Alex Jones so far has not broken any of our rules. And then within a week, Alex Jones had been found to have broken rule mysteriously. And then suddenly, he's gone too. Unreal. And we have also Jack Conte in his 2018 Rubin Report interview, where he admitted that Silicon Valley CEOs talk to each other. They're in cahoots. We know they are.
They're like, in group chats together. They discuss what's going on in their companies.
Yeah, we know that they coordinate. And so the idea that he can just come out and say, well, you know, I don't believe this was coordinated. Jack, we know you were a liar. We know, and we know that you know that we know that you're a liar. So don't go through this charade with us. He carries on. This moment in time might call for this dynamic, but over the long term it will be destructive to the noble purpose and ideals of the open internet. A company making business decision to moderate itself is different from a government removing access, yet it can feel much the same. This to me, I mean, A, like the idea that, this is going to be bad for the free and open internet. Well, you could stop doing it, Jack. Why don't you just stop doing it? Why don't you stop putting people up against the digital wall and blowing their digital brains out? because I'm really tired of the number of people who are getting deplatformed.
Look at that doublethink there, though.
It's unreal.
Like, a business decision to moderate itself is different from a government removing access. How? How are they different?
Yeah.
Except that I'm just a private company, I can do what I want, is the defense.
Exactly, which is why they feel much the same.
God, but, imagine if taking slaves was legal or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, I'm a private company, therefore it's not the same as if the government did it.
If that's his argument, why is it bad to enslave people?
He's got nothing.
Like, he's got nothing, yeah, exactly. He can't argue from that perspective. But I think this is also sort of signalling to the other cartel members as a kind of warning, saying, look, what we are doing here is brutal, frankly. It's aggressive. And
I think the plebs are noticing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is going to be destructive to the noble purpose and ideals of the open internet that you're busy destroying, Jack. Unreal. Anyway, he says, yes, we all need to look critically at inconsistencies of our policy and enforcement. Yes, we need to know, we need to look at how our service might incentivize distraction and harm. Yes, we need more transparency in our moderation operations. All of this can't erode a free and open global internet. These are just empty words to overlay his brutalization of the right wing. Restore the President of the United States to his Twitter account, Jack. The President of the United States legally is not allowed to block people, and I can't believe that legally that means that you're allowed to deplatform him. That Twitter account is now kind of out of your hands. It has been legally declared to be part of the public square, and there can be privately owned public spaces in US law, and so this is not just simply black and white, and it should not simply be in your hands to make these decisions. And I think that at some point, governments will realize that social media moderation and deplatformings should not be left to those companies that own the platform itself. And I think that essentially what we're going to see in the future that comes out of all this is a kind of deferring of the responsibility of deplatforming. There will be some kind of government agency that will set up and review claims that have come in about a particular account to deplatform or not, and whether to reinstate. I think that the power to remove these people from the service or, you know, reinstate them should be deferred to a body that can be held accountable, because that's the problem. There is absolutely no accountability here, but Jack has decided that the public have no business hearing from the democratically elected President of the United States.
I mean, imagine if every printing press in the United States decided to do this. If they formed a little cartel and said, we're not publishing books that we don't like from Republicans.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do?
Well, they're going to do that. They did that to Josh Hawley.
But luckily, the general theme in the United States for printing presses, you know, as low as an issue that could be, like, seems to be that everyone accepts that that's part of it. Therefore, there's no reason yet for the government to get involved.
Yeah.
But if they do decide to cartel, and I don't know, the construction of printing presses is also becoming hard, you know, becomes unionized in part of the cartel.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, you've got to get the state to involve themselves to restore the right to free speech.
Yeah. And that there are antitrust, anti-monopoly laws in the United States already. It's a known problem with capitalism that can lead to these kind of oppressive monopolies, which is, you know, we accept that there are problems with capitalism, but they can easily be fixed with anti-monopoly laws. So why can't we just use them? Anyway, he goes on about Bitcoin, saying he has so much passion for Bitcoin, largely because of the model it demonstrates, a foundational internet technology that is not controlled or influenced by any single individual entity. Again, lamenting that he's in charge of the tyranny.
God, I love Bitcoin because it's not like me.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't do evil things to people like I do. You know, this is what the internet wants to be, and over time, more of it will be. We are trying to do our part by funding an initiative around an open, decentralized standard for social media, a client that he'll call Blue Sky. Would you trust an app or a thing that Jack Dorsey had built? Him going, yeah, well, this is going to prevent tyranny on the internet, guys, says the evil tyrant.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, no. But anyway.
Kind of reminds me, we read a book about Mao Zedong's was a Great Leap Forward.
Yeah.
There's a great section where he's deciding that all the intellectuals should come forwards and criticize the party, and therefore we can have things go forward.
And then
when they do, he just gets them all killed.
Yes. Let a thousand flowers bloom, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, because he's expecting, you know, positive words of the government, everyone's like, oh, the government's evil. He's like, right, off their heads.
So, you know, guys, get on, what is it, Blue Sky, get on Signal, and then he's just going to kill you again.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, the point is, Jack Dorsey appears to be just a serial liar and psychopath. He is quite happy to say one thing, espouse one set of principles, and then act totally contrary to these things, and then lament his own actions abstractly, as if he is not in control of the things that he is doing, which is insufferable. right? He carries on with, "It's important to acknowledge that this is a time of great uncertainty and struggle for many around the world. Our goal at the moment is to disarm as much as we can and ensure that we are building towards a greater common understanding and a more peaceful existence on Earth." Bull. Just absolute lies, right? If you wanted to disarm, to lower the temperature and build towards a greater common understanding, a more peaceful existence, Jack is achieving the exact opposite. Twitter is a locus of the problem. Their own unassailable echo chamber of the left is dominating politics at the moment. And this is, I think, definitely radicalizing people. I mean, it's not like the deplatforming of Donald Trump, I think, alone would have been bad enough. But then for the Silicon Valley cartel to go after Parler as well and dozens of other conservatives around it, this is radicalizing people. I'm absolutely convinced of it. I see it in all the comment sections. I see people just saying it on the internet, just not to me, just in groups that I'm a part of. And, you know, when I'm watching conversations on various different platforms, people are really getting quite stressed out about this, it seems from my experience.
Funnily enough, censoring a political movement doesn't make it go away. It makes them annoyed.
Mm.
I mean, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it makes them angry. But anyway, Jack finishes with, "I believe the internet and global public conversation is our best and most relevant method of achieving this, which is why you're taking such steps to censor it. What the hell are you talking about? Like, I also recognize that it does not feel that way today. Everything we learn in this moment will better our effort to push us what we are, one humanity working together," right? That's terrifying, because that implies that the people that he deplatformed are de facto not human by this standard.
They're not part of the one humanity, are they?
Exactly. They are no longer human. These people need to go so the humans can survive, right? It's a terrifying thought process that informs Jack's decisions, and I don't believe that he believes it. And if he does believe it, that's even worse. Yeah. So Tim Pool may well be right. Jack Dorsey may well be evil. And if not evil, just in total denial of the evil that he perpetuates, which is just as bad. And then we come to the Project Veritas drop, which came after this, I believe. And this was James O'Keefe retweeted that thread going, "Look, Jack, we have insiders at Twitter who have been recording all these stuff and have been sending it to us.
For months.
For months. You're in trouble, right?" And so this was the first Project Veritas leak, which was, as you can see, from the 8th of January. So it was on the day that they deplatformed Donald Trump. They knew it was going to affect Trump and all his supporters, and they know it's going to go on for some time. Let's watch it.
"We do intend to do a full retro, as I said in my note. It is going to take some time. And then the other thing, just to close out a little bit, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account, and it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks, and go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect that. We have to be ready for that. So the focus is certainly on this account and how it ties to real world violence, but also we need to think much longer term around how these dynamics play out over time. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon, and the moves that we're making today around QAnon, for instance, one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at and going deeper on. So the team has a lot of work and a lot of focus on this particular issue, but we also need to give them the space and the support to focus on the much bigger picture, because it is not going away. The U.S. is extremely divided. Our platform is showing that every single day. And our role is to protect the integrity of that conversation and do what we can to make sure that no one is being harmed based off that. And that is the focus, and that is the color we want to provide.
We must protect the integrity of that conversation."
Yeah.
After talking about the fact that he's going to not only ban Donald Trump, but he's going to go much further. And then after the inauguration...
All the QAnon supporters.
No, but after the inauguration, it's still going to go on. He's still going to be banning people.
Yeah.
But we must protect the integrity of that conversation.
Yeah, you protecting the integrity of the conversation means digitally gulagging all of these people.
All the distance have to
go. Yeah, exactly. And this ties in directly to the last tweet, you know, pushing together to be one humanity working together. I mean, A, that sounds kind of fascist. But B, that means that the people who are not part of humanity for Jack need to be massively platformed and to protect the integrity of the conversation, as in the integrity of the race or something is how this is sounding to me. You know, like the purity of the thing. And... And this seems to be his attempt to remake the internet. Like, he seems to feel like he's on the cutting edge of remaking the internet altogether. And the terrible things will have to be done. As he was saying, you know, the businesses feel that they have to do this. It's like, well, I mean, I guess if you're going full-on totalitarian, you do. You know, a pluralistic liberal society doesn't need to do this at all.
And all the other businesses just coincidentally agreed.
So. Yeah, they all just happen to agree with Jack's fascist view of the internet. But yeah, so this is not new. It's been happening for a while. It's going to carry on happening, and it's something they have planned in advance. So it's not surprising that people look at Silicon Valley as if it's basically the social media Gestapo of the Biden regime. This is, I don't know who Fritz Capo is on Minds, but I saw this going around, and this is amazing. This is exactly how I picture it, to be honest. You know, the blue armbands for each one. It's terrible. Terrible thing that they're doing at the moment. But I mean, there is a price to pay for all of this. That is billions in lost stock value, as reported by Business Insider. Facebook and Twitter have collectively seen 51.2 billion erased from their market caps. Facebook taking 47.6 of this, because Facebook is an actual Silicon Valley giant, whereas Twitter is a much smaller thing and lost 3.5 billion. But I mean, that is still billions. But anyway, both companies announced they would permanently ban the president because he poses a too large a risk of additional violence. But anyway, so this is where we are. I think that Silicon Valley is basically run by tyrants and terrifying, terrifying people who exercise power without accountability. Let's go on to Joe Biden.
I was just calculating the size there between them. Like, Twitter's size is about a tenth of YouTube. It's tiny.
And what about Facebook?
Facebook monthly.
Twitter's got like 300 million active users, and Facebook's got like 2.5 billion.
Yeah, 2.7 billion. Yeah. YouTube's on over 2 billion.
Yeah. So the question really is...
It's the weird thing. I mean, Twitter is really not that important in terms of numbers, but what it does have is prestige.
Exactly.
Every government account is on there. Every government official is on there.
Exactly.
And there was a good question posed. I don't know if we mentioned it before, but if you're a United States government that has a Twitter account, or a British governmental department that has a Twitter account, you know, not Mike Pompeo as a person, but the department, right? Why should you only be on Twitter? Because that's favoring that one company. Why should you not be on Gab? Why should you not be on Parler and whatever?
Yeah.
Well,
why
I haven't
do you
heard
have
of
any of these?
Yeah.
Why do you even have them?
It you know, were you not able to communicate with the public before Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, you could put press releases out and the press will do it for you. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Why are you even using these things? But anyway.
Also, Jack Dorsey could ride off into the sunset and spend $40 million every year and die at 100. It's like, you can do what you want, mate. So don't give me this like, oh, I am being forced into this or something like that. Yeah. No.
But it is the political effect that Twitter has, and Twitter has it in particular, that gives Twitter the outsized importance it has. Because, I mean, otherwise it's really not very remarkable as a platform, and there'd be no particular reason to pay attention to it. 300 million is not a very large user base. I mean, Telegram just passed 500 million. So, you know, anyway. El Presidente Biden. Let's talk about what this means for the new glorious regime of accountability, transparency, and democracy that Biden is ushering in with his social media Gestapo stormtroopers.
I mean, he started with the black nationalism yesterday, so, I mean, what's he done now?
Well, let's begin by just talking about the conversation around him. This is Salon.com that was aggregated by MSN, totally sane, centrist, rational publication. The attack on the Capitol was a victory for white supremacy.
Eh?
Doesn't seem to have been a victory for anyone.
No.
Apart from Biden, incidentally.
Like, even if you take the leftist view that all of them were white supremacists, how did they win?
Yeah, exactly. They seem to have been defeated. But anyway, they say last Wednesday, listen to this framing, right? Listen to this just insane framing. And again, the reason this matters and the reason this connects to Twitter is because these are the sorts of worldview that is produced on Twitter, and it becomes like this, the Twitter echo chamber. They say last Wednesday, thousands of Donald Trump's followers launched a right-wing white supremacist assault on the US Capitol. Just don't agree. I don't agree with any of that framing.
Imagine writing that. Like, how deranged do you have to be to write that?
Well, I mean... Well, that's the point, right? how deranged are these people? Because the problem with social media is you curate your own feed. So if you only see sources that say one thing, and everyone else with a verified checkmark on Twitter is sharing these sources and saying the very same thing, and you can see the way they've radicalized themselves up into this, right, this is a white supremacist coup.
Why would you believe anything else?
Why would you be interested in looking for any other information? You've got the information. All of the important people agree with you. You are one of the authorities that speaks down to the plebs. You know, you can just say it and it becomes law and it becomes true in your mind.
Like,
right?
You and all the nobles agree. Who cares what the serfs think?
Exactly. On the same day, more modestly sized, more modestly sized Trump mobs engaged in other acts of political terrorism and harassment across the nation. By this standard, how is Black Lives Matter and Antifa not doing exactly the same? Trump supporters committed these acts of political terrorism in response to his many incitements to sedition, treason, and other forms of political violence, which go back to the 2016 presidential campaign and appear to be escalating in these days before Joe Biden's presidential inauguration. Just total horseshit. I'm sorry, this is just nonsense. Trump's mob eventually overran the Capitol building last Wednesday. I love it. As if there was a great siege, right? As if the defenders were holding out valiantly. But finally, at the gates of Constantinople, Trump's Turkish soldiers managed to break down the walls and burst in, and that was it. The Byzantines were all gone. Constantine XII falls in the fighting somewhere, and now it's just up to Salon.com to lament him. It's ridiculous.
The Greek fire has failed. The ladders have breached the rules.
Yeah. It's the end of Rome, you know. Like, sorry, nonsense. It's just nonsense. Forcing members of Congress, staffers, and other people to flee or hide or in fear for their lives. You mean the same way that Black Lives Matter did with President Trump at the White House a few months back that you all mocked him for being cowards about. So sorry, I'm mocking you for being cowards. This fascistic coup attempt would result in the deaths of at least 5 people, including a Capitol Police officer. That's not true. 3 of them were not nowhere near the Capitol when they died because they died of health problems. The only 2 of them could be considered to be as a result of the action that took place. One of them being a protester who was unarmed and was shot, and the other one was a police officer who got into the scuffle with the mob and died after the protest from his injuries. So, again, massively overhyping things. Yeah. Deliberately overhyping.
And again,
things.
Just for YouTube's benefit as well.
Yeah.
Obviously not good, blah, blah, blah.
No.
But,
yeah.
You know, this is not the siege of Constantinople. This is...
yeah.
A bunch of people stormed in. Okay,
yeah, this is not the Turks out. At Vienna, for Christ's sake. But anyway, if not for the valiant efforts of Capitol Police, District of Columbia Police, and the other law enforcement officials to fight back against Trump's mob, the death toll could well have been much higher. Nonsense. None of them were armed. They were not armed. But more importantly, you hate the cops. You hate the cops.
The valiant efforts of boys in blue.
Yeah, also all cops are bastards and they oppress black people. They're all racist. They're a tool of the white supremacy. Like, it's so nakedly transparent that this is lies.
Maybe they are the force of, what is it, good and diversity or whatever.
The police of tolerance and diversity. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the boys in blue are suddenly on the good side of history.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, just when they're doing what we want, like them.
As long as the Batons have the LGBT colours on them,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Fine.
Black Lives Matter on the truncheon. Anyway, Donald Trump and the Republican Party's politics of white grievance and white victimhood. Oh, they're not saying that at all, but have radicalised many tens. Incidentally, that was actually the Democrat platform, like 100 years ago. That was exactly what the Democrat platform was. These Americans are increasingly rejecting democracy if it means people like them do not maintain eternal control of the nation's political, social, and economic institutions. I mean, I guess that's true if people like them means law-abiding Americans. If law-abiding Americans do not maintain control over the nation's political, social, and economic institutions, then they will reject the government and country that they are being presented with. Sensibly so. Why would you want to live in a country with a government run by bandits? Why would you want that? Of course they're going to reject it. Why shouldn't they reject it? Like, what you're proposing is an awful, awful future. But in this version of America, non-white people are effectively to be treated as second-class citizens. There are established terms for such a societal arrangement, apartheid and Jim Crow.
Which is why the last 4 years have been just that. What are you talking about?
There is no connection with reality here. The Republicans are not arguing for segregation.
Who put Jim Crow in place?
Well, the guilty conscience of the Democrat voters is probably gnawing at them at the moment in the back of their minds.
I mean, if Trump had won, there'd be apartheid in Jim Crow. What didn't he do in the last 4 years? What's he taking so long over?
But why is Joe Biden the one who's appointing black supremacists to his fucking cabinet?
Don't worry, it's not apartheid when we do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. It's all when they do it. And again, this is what I was saying about yesterday. The refusal to engage in ethics makes you a bad person, which is what they're doing. When it's just power decides everything is an unethical way of living your life. But anyway, like I said, nothing about Trump or his supporters promotes apartheid or Jim Crow. This is the Democrats projecting their own evils onto the Republicans. The Republicans, the party of Lincoln, the party of anti-slavery, the party of the first black senators, the party who actually, and the Democrats used to call them the party of the N-word, right? 100 years ago, they called the Republicans the party of the N-word. And these shits, it's been like, oh, they're the party of apartheid and Jim Crow. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm not an American. I'm not a Republican. You know, I'm in favor of our constitutional monarchy. God save the Queen. But my God, man, I'm so sick of seeing the Republicans being so mishandled by the left. You're just such liars.
Like, even the foreigners are seeing through this.
Yes. 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 You know, those traitorous splitting Republicans. But, you know, but yeah, no, the Democrats are just off the rails, right? So, and this, there we go. Donald Trump is, in effect, America's first white president, right?
What?
No. Notice the white is capitalized.
Okay.
Right? So white is...
So he's not just white skin.
Exactly. We're not talking about a descriptive thing. We're talking about a political thing.
He's the white president.
This is why they capitalized the B in black, and they refused to capitalize the W in white, because that signifies a proper noun, a political movement that can be named. But here they are, creating the political movement.
The Democrats are making a white movement yet again.
Exactly. Exactly. They used to be exactly that. And now they're trying to imprint this on Donald Trump. Trump is not a racial nationalist. He's just not. Right? Senior advisor Stephen Miller, one of the few members of Trump's inner circle to endure through his entire term, is an overt white supremacist. I'll just take your word for it. The Republican Party, despite its current fumbling attempt to jettison Trump as an embarrassment, is the world's largest white supremacist organization. They'll be so shocked to learn that.
What the hell, man?
Human and civil rights have been undermined and rolled back in the age of Trump. Which ones? Oh, free speech because of the Democrats deplatforming everyone? Maybe. The coup and siege of the Capitol was but one battle in a longer struggle for and against white supremacy. Madness. It's absolute madness. It's not true.
I'm finding your Robespierre example better. Like, absolute paranoia. Where you're just making stuff up and you're just living in
this world. I told you they would start descending into paranoid conspiracies about white supremacists.
It's not just Salon. Like, everyone thinks, oh, just far left outlet, who cares? Like, we're going to get into CNN in a minute, like a more mainstream Democrat outlet.
Sure,
no, they're just as bad.
Sure, but let's talk about the sedition charges that are being floated for Trump's protesters, right? So this is... Yeah, charges of sedition. So they want to dust off a Civil War era sedition law that was used to prosecute Trump's supporters who took part in the riot at the Capitol. This was last used in 1995 to convict Islamic militants who tried to bomb New York City landmarks. Michael Schoen, the acting U.S. attorney for D.C., said all options are on the table, including sedition charges against the Capitol invaders. Karen Greenberg, the director for Center on National Security at the Fordham University School of Law, said sedition charges are an attack against the U.S. the center of U.S. government and are even more appropriate than in the New York bombing plot. Right, so when Islamic militants tried to blow up various government buildings, that's sedition, but this is even more seditious and it's even more appropriate. She's like, of course we should use it here. That's what this is, a seditious conspiracy. Get off Twitter. Get off Twitter, you lunatic. And how is this diffusing tensions? Like, let's ratchet it up. Let's twist the thumbnails. Let's get as many of them on the worst charges that we can, even though, watch any of the footage, these boomer idiots, or at least the majority of them, were not there to overthrow the government. Otherwise, they would have come armed. And
but, I mean, I'm happy to expand the definition of sedition this wide, because if that's the case, everyone who attacked the courthouse in Portland Yep. All of you are getting sedition charges.
Every person who defended the Chaz.
I mean, Ted Wheeler was out there. I don't know why he couldn't get sedition charges.
Absolutely.
He was supporting the besiegement of a federal building.
Absolutely. All of these people are then seditious. I mean, they are openly seditious. And far like, you know, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all.
Yeah, I'm happy to charge them with riotous crimes. I don't need to go to treason. But if we're going there,
I mean,
why not?
Sure. Like, it's justified. Anyway, so... Jeffrey A. Rosen, the now acting U.S. Attorney General, has urged prosecutors nationwide to consider filing seditious conspiracy charges against what he called violent rioters. He said, the law didn't require proof of a plot to overthrow the U.S. government. That's right. Right. So now we don't even need to prove that they were plotting to overthrow the U.S. government in order to charge them with sedition.
Rosen wrote that the law did not require proof.
Isn't
just, that mad? Just as a sentence. Like, yeah. What the heck?
Then the law is a bad one, Mr. Rosen. Lawyers interviewed by the Associated Press agreed that it would be a stretch to try and try President Trump and Rudy Giuliani.
It would be a stretch to try and implement the law without proof, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
It would be a stretch to put Trump and Giuliani on trial for sedition, right? For their incendiary rhetoric preceding the mob attack at the Capitol. That's not true.
What?
Trump hadn't even finished speaking before the attacks had started happening.
March peacefully. That's the incendiary rhetoric.
Yeah, that's the incendiary rhetoric. Go home in peace. That's the incendiary rhetoric. New York civil rights lawyer Ron Kuby, who represented the people convicted in 1995 of the attack, said that those who started the riot have no idea just how oppressive the government can actually be, and they are about to find out. Well, it seems to be because of all of the presumably left-wing lawyers who are demanding that these people be treated as if they were the equivalent of Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, these guys are basically Islamic State. It's like,
yeah,
right. I haven't seen any crucifixions yet, but yeah. Keep my eyes peeled.
Andrew McCarthy, the former federal prosecutor who secured the convictions at the 1995 trial, said that Trump's actions were reprehensible, but you would never be able to prove beyond reasonable doubt that he intended force to be used. Well, that's because you, Mr. McCarthy, are not a lunatic, right? The rest of them are lunatics, and words don't matter to them. And literally saying...
The McCarthy in the room is
the
reasonable
McCarthy
one.
The McCarthy in the room is the reasonable one, who just says, look, you can't prove beyond reasonable doubt. Well, they don't care. They already have it beyond reasonable doubt. But anyway, so this to me, and of course, because of what's happened, they've called in something like 15,000 National Guard to be at the Capitol now at all times until Biden's inauguration.
I think the whole city's on lockdown.
The whole city's on lockdown. I think they've got a curfew as well.
Yeah.
So essentially, if we can get it, I posted this to Gab because this was just one of the photos. I say, it honestly looks like a South American-style coup d'etat has occurred in the USA. The least popular candidate won the largest victory ever amid a massive accusation of fraud, and then troops move in to occupy the institutions of government and protect them from the people who feel the election was stolen. What's wrong about that?
I haven't got anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hadn't looked at it that way, but that's totally true.
But just look at it.
Yeah.
Just what are you doing, Joe? Is this...
I need 15,000 troops to protect me.
Yeah. Do you look like you have the consent of the governed, Joe Biden? Because it doesn't look like that to me. It looks like, to me, you think that something terrible's coming.
Oh,
and
apparently they've upped it. They've now got 26,000 troops.
Oh,
which I was saying.
26,000?
He needs the extra 6,000 guys.
No, an extra 11,000.
11,000, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is military occupation. This is what this looks like. And so I the question is, why, after winning everything, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, are the Democrats acting like they're in such a position of weakness?
Like everything's about to come toppling down.
Exactly.
At any minute.
They're trying to desperately stamp out MAGA from everywhere. Get rid of Trump, get rid of MAGA, get rid of QAnon, get rid of everything. You know, secure social media as if that's going to be something that changes anything.
Could you imagine being scared of QAnon bringing down your government?
Well, I mean, how many satanic pedos do you have in your government, Mr. Biden?
But that's the thing. Like, it's so absurd. Like, you see the guy talking about, you know, quantum energy waves and stuff. It's like, this guy's got to go. He's going to bring us all down.
It's like, okay, well, what is it about the quantum energy waves you're worried about? I mean,
like, why are they so scared about the quantum energy, huh?
I don't believe in any of that kind of nonsense, but they seem to really take it quite seriously.
Well, that's why we need the 26,000 troops.
Yeah, exactly. Good God, you know. But anyway, so the point is, yeah, why do they seem to be coming from a position of weakness and illegitimacy? Why are they persecuting so hard? Why are the plans so big as well? Because Biden's plans are huge, right? So, I mean, you know, you've got like the nationwide mask mandate and things like this. The constitutional veracity of this is probably up in the air, but it doesn't really matter, right? Because that's, you know, these sort of small things to bring him in line with the sort of tyranny that Europeans have been living under for the past year is just the start, right? What Biden's going to do is essentially the Great Reset. He seems to be just openly pronouncing it now, offering a massive bailout. So they've just had a massive bailout, obviously, and Biden is like, hey, why don't we have another $1.9 trillion spending plan? It's like, wow, that's right, because we want the dollar to be bloody worthless. Why even have the dollars? You may as well have nothing. Isn't that right, Joe, right? Anyway, so I watched Biden's, like, you know, half-hour address, and it was the most boring thing in the world. And it just sounded like he was trying to buy the American public off with their own money in a ridiculous way that is just going to cheapen the value of the dollar. And I'm no economist, but I'm well aware that if you just start printing money willy-nilly in order to try and pacify your population, you end up like those countries that do that, such as Zimbabwe or Venezuela or wherever, right?
You're going to end up really like a South American democracy at this rate.
You really are. This is, it really looks like that's the way it's going.
I love in the chat, people are saying, you know, I never believed in Q, but the Democrats, how they're acting, is starting to make me think it might be real.
Biggest recruiter for QAnon was the Democrats.
Yeah, the whole time.
But yeah, again, we're not QAnon supporters or anything. We don't really understand it.
I think it's complete nonsense, but it's...
Yeah, it's like, you know, interdimensional but frequencies.
I just find it crazy that the Dems are like, this is a threat to the democracy.
Yeah.
Really?
we need 26,000 men here, quick.
Like, I don't think the 9/11 truthers are the threat to a democracy. Like,
no.
I mean, they were going to bring down the Bush administration, were they? You're nuts.
Yeah. But anyway, Biden has called this his American rescue plan. Joe Biden is going to be the superhero who comes in and rescues America from the lockdowns the Democrats imposed on them.
He's going to rescue it from himself.
Yes. He's going to rescue the Americans from the Democrats. Biden spelled out his plans to speed the nation's COVID vaccination program, so you're going to get your mandatory vaccines. I'm joking. He hasn't said they're mandatory. It's just going to be you can't travel if you don't have one of the vaccines. You'll be socially stigmatized if you don't have a vaccine. Ooh. Ah, why is she playing?
Fox News got autoplays everywhere.
Yeah, everything's insufferable. But anyway, yeah, so he's going to this COVID vaccination program, boost coronavirus testing capacity to help reopen businesses and schools, as if we can't just reopen the businesses and schools, you know. It's a natural occurrence now that they're shut, and we need great intervention by Biden's government in order to just allow you to go to your job. Sorry. And, of course, provide a $1,400 stimulus check for Americans and federal funds for state and local governments to use to avoid laying off police officers, firefighters, and other first responders. So basically, he's just going to turn the American economy into a fiction. It's going to be a total fiction. It's going to have no direct correlation with the amount of labor that's produced and the amount of money that they actually earn. It's going to be massive, massive debts. And, I mean, like, the U.S. isn't in debt enough. Was it $20 trillion or something now?
It's ridiculous.
It's...
I mean, Trump hasn't helped on that front, don't get me wrong.
No, of course he hasn't. No one's helped on this front. But it's just like, right, okay, we'll just carry on then. I mean, this is never going to be paid back. I mean, I'm sure we all understand now that this is just not happening, right? But Biden says, we not only have an economic imperative to act now, I believe we have a moral obligation. And he acknowledged the price tag will be high. He said, this does not come cheaply. Yeah, stealing everyone's money and then doling it back out to them and all of the special interests who are obviously going to tack on their own things to all of this like they did in the previous one. Yeah, you're right, that's not going to be cheap. Looting the United States is not cheap. It's not a cheap thing to do when the junta finally takes control. But anyway, top economists agree, according to Joe Biden. So, well, if you say top economists, that means a bunch of people who you agree with and you like all agree with you. What a shock. People at the Federal Reserve, Wall Street, the International Monetary Fund, they all agree that, and this, he quotes, he cites these.
Trusted organizations.
Exactly. Trusted institutions, international institutions. All who I would say were in agreement with the principles of the Great Reset, and again, Biden does use the terms build back better repeatedly, all agree that debasing America's currency and reducing everyone to serfdom and reliant on the government is a great idea. I don't know what you're worried about, right? So he's literally trying to base people off, and I just want to buy people off. And I just want to be clear, debasing the currency does not and has never worked, right? It never brings prosperity, it does not solve shortages, and it never has. You can go back to the Roman Empire with the Edict of Diocletian in like 295, where he says, right, there's going to be a maximum price on these things and a maximum price on these things. It doesn't work, because what you're doing is artificially putting pressure on a point in the system where other pressure is being generated, and you're just like, right, we're just going to artificially stop there. So, okay, it's like a balloon that's half filled with water and half filled with air. If you squeeze it, the water will go to one end, and the you know, but you'll still have like this artificial thing. As soon as you release it, it'll just go back to how it was. So you haven't solved the problem. But more importantly, debasing your currency is more of a sign of a sort of empire in decline, right? The French did this during the French Revolution, and other countries have done this during their other revolutions. Like these are countries in decline where they have problems that are insurmountable, that can't be fixed without some kind of structural change. But I bet that Biden also then goes on to attempt price controls at some point as well, which also don't work. None of this is going to work. The plebs receiving the grain dole in the cities are going to protest, and it'll be the folk in the countryside who are going to bear the burden of all this. We saw this in the 20th century. We've seen it in previous centuries. We can see this all the way back to the Roman Empire. This will not work. But more importantly, right, and this thing, everyone can see what's happening. Right? Everyone can see what's happening. This is a viral video by some gym bro who was at a lockdown protest last year. And man, did he call it. Let's listen to this dude.
If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class. And that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
Base gym bro, yeah. Like, how is he wrong? Just how is he wrong? And let's like the only thing you could really criticize him on there is ascribing a will to what's happening in the background, saying, "Well, who's these shadowy people doing it?" Well, I mean, Joe Biden, the IMF. I mean, he's literally.
Them, right? Well, I can name them all, but
yeah, we actually have the names of the people involved, right? But even if it's not the product of an ill will that was acting on society, what difference does it make? It's all happening anyway. Like, it may as well be. It's all happening anyway. But anyway, Trump's popularity seems to be still holding. In a Gallup poll, they had him at 39% approval. The Rasmussen poll had him at 48% approval. This is pretty, actually not very much outside of the range of normality for Trump in these particular type of polls. But interestingly, mid-December last year, 82% disapproved of Congress. 60% did not trust the media at all. So Trump's actually doing better than both of those institutions who are actively opposing him. And just quickly add on to the end of this, there has been apparently an Antifa / Black Lives Matter rioter who has been charged in his role for the Capitol riot. Federal prosecutors announced charges against a one John Sullivan, a self-described left-wing activist who recorded the fatal police shooting of a Trump supporter in the Capitol. He is a founder of a group called Insurgents USA, which formed in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. He's charged with illegally entering the Capitol, civil disorder, etc., etc.
Andy Ngo who identified him, isn't it?
It is. I believe it was Andy Ngo that identified him, because Andy Ngo is doing the Lord's work as usual. And the FBI affidavit indicates that Sullivan was acting as a more active participant in the riots than as a journalist, as he claimed. For example, you can hear him shouting, "There are so many people, let's go, this shit is ours, fuck yeah. We accomplished this shit, we did it together, fuck yeah, we're all a part of history, let's burn this shit down."
Neutral journalism.
Yes.
At yes. CNN, maybe.
So CNN's like, well, yeah, there was no incitement to violence there, obviously. But this is the thing. The Trump supporters weren't saying things like, let's burn this shit down. They don't want to burn stuff down. They're the sort of people who build things. Which, incidentally, we'll have a premium article up in the next day or two on lotuslease.com. Just going into the people who were arrested for the riot and the kind of people they are. And what's interesting is they're not losers, right? They're people who own small businesses. Like Ashley Babbitt, the woman who shot, she was a small business owner. You know, she's an entrepreneur. There was one who was a professional swimmer? I think it was some Olympian athlete was in there. And so it's like, these are not losers. These are like the backbone of America. These are the people who keep America afloat and up. You know, the people who do the hard work. The people who stand to lose things, as the Jim Bro was saying, incidentally. And of course, there have also been, on Twitter, an allegation that CNN's Jake Slacker was penetrating the Capitol with a member of BLM Antifa cheering, we did it.
I literally called it. I said it was going to be CNN journalism.
Yep. Then asking a conspirator if he was filming, and he said he'd delete it, and he lied. Apparently, there are allegations that CNN journos were in on all of this and taking part. I mean, there's the video. You can watch the video in your own time. It'll be in the show notes on lotusseats.com. You can watch the video where they're just talking about it, like, oh my god, we're in the Capitol. Oh my god, it's like, what the hell is a CNN journalist doing there with the MAGA riots before Trump has even finished speaking?
I wonder if he should be charged with sedition.
I mean, what options do we have? 20 years in prison. Just saying.
Oh.
So how's Don Lemon doing these
American
days?
Politics is crazy. we get up every day, come in and research the stuff, and I'm just like, how does it get worse every single day? I don't know.
Because America is just totally descending into civil war.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how is Don Lemon treating this?
So I wanted
CNN.
I wanted to talk about CNN because, as I mentioned earlier, like Salon and whatnot, like they are genuinely far left in their perception.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go for CNN because it's a more like boomer Democrat outlet and see how they're doing, and they're not doing very well. They've gone just as bad, and it's really weird to watch. But the one I wanted to focus on was Don Lemon because I think he's gone the most insane. So he's basically just decided that, like you said, just abolish ethics. I'm not going to be held to any standards whatsoever.
Yeah,
because I mean he can't, like he just can't. Because if he did, then he'd have to disavow his own statements.
His entire position would collapse in on itself, and everyone would be looking going, Don, you're actually a really scummy human being, aren't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've spoken a lot about the fact that you compare these, or at least everyone's comparing them, to the summer of love that was the BLM riots. And Don's not having it. He's going to stand on that ground and say, you can't compare these. So this is the first clip.
Oh, CNN Tonight and D. Lemon right now.
Listen, I don't mind that you're late, because that was a very important interview. And listen, I'm glad you mentioned about being shot by cops, because you cannot compare this, and I'm sick of people comparing. You can't compare what happened this summer to what happened at the Capitol. It's two different things. One was built on people, on racial justice, on criminal justice, right? On reform, on police not beating up or not treating people of color differently than they do whites. Okay?
It's just a lie.
Lie. Those are facts. Go look at them. What happened at the Capitol on Wednesday was built on a lie perpetrated by the president and the people who support him. So just on that one, that merit, if you want to call it, it's not comparable.
Those
things are not comparable. So they should stop doing that and stop this whataboutism. Oh, it happened with this. No one has ever, ever gone this far in saying that an election was illegitimate with all the evidence we have that this was that this election was legitimate. Right. So I don't understand, why Ken Cuccinelli and all these people keep going. If the president, and he says, I can't imagine. In a million years.
It just happened last week.
It just happened last week. If he can't imagine it, then the president should come out and say, stop it with the talk about the capitals, right? The attacks and the protests on the capitals. There's nothing to protest. It was a legitimate election. Stop it with saying the election was fair and square. There's nothing to protest. Everyone go home. Don't come out and protest. Don't come out and riot. You shouldn't have done what you did on Wednesday. We're against that. This is not what this movement is about. Has he said all that? No, he didn't. He didn't tell people not to come out.
Nope.
So he can't imagine a million years. Good luck with what happened.
Okay. So, I mean, that was just
nuts. So I wrote down some notes because I want to address all of those points because I think it was amazing. So one of these movements that engaged in mass violence was based on criminal justice, and therefore it's okay. And the other one was based on a lie, whereas ours is based on facts, so it's okay. Right, just not true. Like, Black Lives Matter as an organization is just built on false claims about bullshit cases where they keep trying to argue that this is police brutality and racism.
Yeah.
And it goes to court, all the evidence comes out, and the case is just demolished.
Every single time, it's someone who is just a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, the
really
hands up, don't
person.
Shoot narrative about Eric Garner. Complete not true. Let's talk about Tamir Rice, the kid with the gun.
Yeah.
Like, he was walking around with a realistic BB rifle. Cops were called because it was like, there's a kid walking around with a gun. Yeah. If I had done that, I'd expect to be shot. He was shot. Okay? And they say, oh, this is a form of racism, blah, blah. No, come on. Like, and then we've got to talk about the Kenosha guy. We haven't had time to cover. We spoke about it before. Like, the case is now just being thrown out because the guy reached for a knife, so you got shot.
Yeah.
What are you expecting? So no, this is just built on lies as well.
Well, the New York Times did a database for like 2015 for every police killing, and it turned out that such a small fraction of them were unarmed that there was nothing, no narrative to be spun out of it.
Yeah, that's why I feel so strongly about the idea that ours is based on truth, yours is based on lies. Shut up.
But even then, like, that's what every single side says. That's why we have ethical principles that we try to apply, so we have a consistent standard. So we don't have to actually understand the merits and the demerits of each particular case, which are going to be heavily contested in every case. Mm. We can say, well, look, it doesn't matter. The process is going to follow these lines.
But also the idea that this is whataboutism. Like, you know, you're saying, oh, what about this violence? And it's like, well, because you can't address it. We're saying...
No, but, he was in favor of
it. Like, the right-wing position on this, as you have seen, is right-wing as, you know, all the mainstream saying the violence in the Capitol was bad, we shouldn't have done that. You know, Trump himself saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, none of you were able to say that. None of you were able to say,
they
don't
defended
engage
it.
In it. You defended it. So don't give me any of that. Also, the you know, this has gone too far because Trump says, oh, it's illegitimate. Well, what do you... If a candidate disagrees with the result, what is he meant to do?
Shut up. Take it.
Yeah, that's it. So
there are 26,000 troops in the Capitol. What are you going to do about it?
Also, that, you know, Trump should denounce things. Well, he has, so sod off. He went further than this. It's not just that they're living in a parallel world where they can't even address the points that are being brought up. Like, he is full-on purge as well, like with the Salon.com article. So this is him saying that the Trump supporters are siding with Nazis and the Klan.
Now what you hear is, well, you can't say that everybody who voted for Trump is like the people who went into the Capitol. Response.
Just watch him.
You can't say that. What? Everybody's like...
Everybody who voted for Trump is like them.
And now, I just explained to you, if you are on that side, you need to think about the side you're on. I am never on the side of the Klan. I am never... principal people, conservative or liberal, never on the Klan side. Principal people, conservative or liberal, never on the Nazi side. Principal people who are conservative or liberal, never on the side. That treats their fellow Americans as less than. That says that your fellow Americans should not exist. That says your fellow Americans should be in a concentration camp. Or that sides with slavery. Or sides with any sort of bigotry.
Right, and if they say, I don't agree with those people, I just like Trump's policy.
Well, then get out of the crowd with him. Get out of the crowd.
I wasn't in the crowd. I just voted for Trump.
You're in the crowd who voted for Trump. If you voted for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported. You voted for the person who Nazis support. You voted for the person who the alt-right supports.
Oh, you liar.
That's the crowd that you are in. God. You voted for the person who incited a crowd to go into the Capitol and potentially take the lives of lawmakers.
He's nearly
took
smiling.
The lives of
he
police
can hardly
officers,
stop the smile.
Took
he
the lives of innocent lives who were there on the Capitol that day. You voted on that side, and the people in Washington are continuing to vote on that side.
So if you voted for a party that is supported by Nazis or is associated with the Klan, that means guilt by association, that's enough. All you have to do is vote for them. Fine, I agree with Don Lemon. Shall we talk about the Nazis? Who do they support?
Well, I mean, I did hear that Richard Spencer was a strident supporter of Joe Biden.
Yeah, so we'll get that up. It's just Richard Spencer tweeting out, I am on Team Joe.
CNN contributor and prominent Nazi Richard Spencer was on Team Joe.
Yeah, literally contributing to CNN. So, okay, okay, Don Lemon. And then we'll talk about the Klan. So there's, I love this. So this is a fact check from, I think this is Reuters.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, Snopes did this, all of them did it, because it was like, people were spreading on this lie on social media that Biden had given a speech at a Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard's funeral and given a eulogy about how good of a man he was. And no, this is a lie. The truth is, he wasn't a Grand Wizard. He was an exalted Cyclops.
Oh, thanks, Snopes, you know. You got me there. Mostly false.
But I'm not even joking. Like, they say this. He was an exalted Cyclops, not a Grand Wizard. In the early 1940s, Biden recruited 150 people into the West Virginia chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. He's off to, you know, this is a great guy for give a eulogy, Joe Biden. Byrd later renounced his membership of the organization. Okay, well, fair enough. You left the organization. But then what did he go on to do? So he wanted to go into politics, and he continued his opposition to civil rights and said and gave a filibuster against the 1964 Civil Rights Act to keep it going into law for as long as possible. And not only that, he then opposed gay marriage when it came up before he died. It's like, I don't really think he renounced his
views. Is this the one there's a picture of Hillary Clinton giving a kiss to?
Almost certainly, yes.
Right.
So, but, you know, the Klan support the Democrats. You know, they support Joe Biden.
Well,
Joe
they're
Biden
a product
gave
of
a eulogy.
The Democrats.
Well, but also Joe Biden himself gave a eulogy at this guy's funeral about how great of a guy he was. And, you know, Richard Spencer's on Team Joe. Okay, Don Lemon, I agree. Anyone who voted for Joe Biden is a Nazi.
I mean, Richard Spencer does just sound like a Democrat from 100 years ago.
Yeah. But I also wanted to point out, like, Don Lemon doesn't care about violence. I'm not taking anything from this guy. So this is an old clip of him talking back when the violence was going on from Black Lives Matter. If we could play that.
Go on, then. Yes!
Where's the lie?
Oh my god. Fall for reality! Oh god!
We're gonna deal with the people believing in reality.
They keep complaining about the Black Lives Matter rioters who are murdering people and burning things down, and they keep complaining about that they're not safe, and oh my god, I'm sick of hearing it.
It's like, well, stop these burning stuff down and taking down the statues and defunding the police. Like, just stop doing what you're doing then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
But you know it's not going to affect these two. That's the thing. Don Lemon...
I think he's officially the richest CNN host now as well.
I don't doubt, but he's speaking clearly from a position of privilege, because this very real concern for people like the McCluskeys, who have spent their life building up this particular house, spent all their life savings in it, they've had 30 years or whatever, and then have to come out and defend it from a rampaging mob of Black Lives Matter supporters who want to burn it down.
Their lives don't matter.
Yeah, their lives don't matter, their property doesn't matter. Don Lemon isn't going to be affected by it, that's why.
No. And it's not just a couple of instances. I wanted to play like a little shoe reel that someone has made of the media versus the people, so we can play the next one.
No matter what happens, everybody sticks to
the
team.
We're going to have to blow up the entire system. And you know what we're going to have to do?
No, I don't know about
you know
that.
What we're going to... Yes, yeah. What you have to do?
You just got
to
vote.
Honestly, from what your closing argument is, you're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College. Because the people...
I don't see it.
Because the minority in this country decides like who the judges are and they decide who the president is.
You need a constitutional amendment to do that.
And if Joe Biden wins, Democrats can stack the courts... And they can do that amendment, and they can get it passed.
Well, you need two-thirds vote in the Congress and three-quarters of the state legislature.
They may be able to do that.
Maybe.
It's just crazy. Just we're going to destroy the entire system.
Yeah, just screw the system.
This is CNN.
We'll stack the courts.
You know, this isn't like Marxism.org.
Yeah,
this is CNN. But then let's play the show reel I wanted to show. So I got them in the wrong order. No, it shouldn't be that one. No, that's gone back. No, never mind. Nope, that is right. I didn't notice.
Sorry.
Go back. That was right. Sorry.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
If you voted for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported. You voted for the person who Nazis support.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right, that Osama bin Laden didn't do?
No external terrorists ever did this to us. We've never worried like this, even after 9/11.
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
I wonder if you have thought through kind of how Republicans begin what someone on my team earlier today called debathification.
Look, I think the challenge is that the rot is from the grassroots all the way to the presidency. So the rot is at every layer.
There are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, who somehow need to be deprogrammed.
They can't even open their mouths about unity. Shut up about unity.
The way that we in the media speak about this is so important.
Twitter and Facebook aren't banning you because you're a conservative. They're banning you because you suck. They're banning you because you say evil shit.
I covered wars abroad. I've seen ugly things that this country now resembles, but I've never seen this country more in doubt about safety at home than right now. And the enemy is us.
I agree, Chris. The enemy is indeed you.
I'm in complete agreement. I did want to end on that, but just some of the nuts things there. We need to be debathification of the U.S.
Deprogramming them all. I mean, this is genocidal rhetoric.
We're not banning you off social media because we're censoring you. We're banning you because you say evil shit. The president of the United States saying, don't commit violence. That's evil shit.
Unironically, I don't want to use the word Nazi, right? Because it's such an overused word. But this is exactly the kind of thing that I would expect to come out of the mouths of the Nazis when they took over.
Just any socialist. But I had to tag this on at the end.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to. But Don Lemon actually has responded to the fact that this looks crazy.
Yeah.
So Chris Cuomo giving him a chance to respond, if we can play that for the last part.
There are a lot of people who voted for Trump who don't agree with you.
That's fine. It doesn't. They are allowed to their own opinion. It doesn't mean that they're right.
Oh, are they?
They're allowed to their own opinion, and I believe what I said last night.
If you do. But I'm saying they look at this mob. They say that's not me. I'm not. I'm nothing like those people. I would never have done that. But they're all
people,
wrong.
Those people voted the way you voted and for who you voted for. I'm just saying.
So? Right, but just because you vote for the same people doesn't mean that you believe the same things.
It puts you in the same crowd. Yes, it does.
It puts you in the same group of people who voted for you. You may not have the same reasons. You may not have the same understanding.
You vote for people who have common interests. If someone has a common interest, people who vote like you have a common interest as you. That's just how it is.
So you've got a common interest with Richard Spencer.
You don't vote for the most liberal person in the world because you're a conservative. You vote for someone who shares your common interest. That's how voting works.
Right,
that's how
but it doesn't mean
work.
It doesn't
that's
mean
how
that
political
you believe.
Affiliation work.
But it doesn't mean that a voter believes that their vote means what you think it means.
Well, but it also believes. It also means that you share something with that person, and you must
not
own up
down,
to it. And you have to, we have to stop saying giving people an out for the for people who represent the worst behavior. Stop trying to make an excuse for people who voted for someone who has those beliefs. That you may think that you don't believe that, but in a way, what you're doing, you're complicit with it because you are voting for the same type of person.
Okay, so...
And here's a reminder for all the Republicans in the Senate who, you know, might be thinking about flipping. This is what they think of you. This is mainstream, left-leaning, you know, news. This isn't the extremities of the Democratic Party.
Oh, no.
This is the corporate shills.
The rot is very clearly in the center of it now. Yep. But, okay, so what's Don Lemon's overlap with Richard Spencer? I want to know, Don. You both voted for the same candidate. You both support the same candidate.
The Lemon-Spencer alliance.
How is it that you're both on the side of white nationalism? Anyway.
What's his defense? He's gone none.
Yeah.
He's gone none.
Yeah, so that was insane. American politics is mad. And I dread to think what's going to happen this weekend. I mean, the weeks are not going slowly. I've got to be honest. The content is good for us, you know. Everything's just charging ahead. King of the Universe. We missed this from yesterday. The clip of Tom McClintock. He is wearing a mask that I bought that says, "This mask is as useless as our governor." Good mask. Mute stream. I've done my part. Did you service guarantee citizenship? Is your duty to vote? Sargonites, Calamites, Huguenots, do your part. 9 hours left. So that's on lotussimpers.com.
No affiliation.
Yeah, and no affiliation, and also disavow. You should, if you're going to vote on there, you should be voting that. What was the?
Thou shalt not simp.
That's right. No simping. TF Allspark, Norwegian money to our British heroes. Thank you again. These aren't reparations. This is respect money, though I'm considering going from silver to gold on the site. Well, thank you very much. Glyph Fox says, Hassa Diga Jack Dorsai. I don't really get that. Pixel says, thoughts on Mines? I'm loving it, to be honest. Yeah, Mines is really good. Obviously, I'm just at Sargon of Akkad. I think it's something we've had 100 on Mines.
Can you change it to your name or not?
I can change my display name to my name, so you can just find me by searching Carl Benjamin. But yeah, Mines is great, and I've been on it for years. Same with Gab, I've been on it for years. But they've both had redesigns. They look both really good now. And so, yeah, I'm using them very frequently. They're doing very good work. Use the hashtag Exodus to find people, like-minded people. And do when you go on there, when you sign up and use it, do go through and follow a bunch of people. And if you're on there and you've got a few hundred followers from using the hashtag, retweet some other people so they can help find some people, so we're not all atomized and scattered, because that was the point of deplatforming Parler. They can see all the conservatives are there, they're coordinating in the same way the liberals or the communists do on Twitter. And so destroying the platform is a way of smashing you and spreading you and scattering you to the winds. You've got to do your best to resist it. President-elect Joe Biden says, having to ban Donald Trump? Yes, your back was against the wall, Jack. Pontius Pilate washes his hands. Good point. Deplorable Pirate Captain says, throwing the book at any conspiracy theorist is a wet dream come true for them. Q is about to get the biggest confirmation bias imaginable. Oh, yeah. I did follow some Q accounts to try and, because I try and stay a little bit in every echo chamber, right? So I can see sort of the ethos that's going on in each one. And the Q people are just totally convinced at this point, in my opinion, that the satanic pedophiles of the deep state are coming for them, and that it's all or nothing. So, you've well done on radicalizing everyone, Jack Dorsey and the rest of the Silicon Valley cartel. You've done a great job. They are getting very radical. I can see why you feel the need for 26,000 troops to occupy the capital, frankly. Matt Colossus says Trump should create TrumpCon, a teleologically opposed... I think he means ideologically opposed to censorship. A telephone company ideologically opposed to censorship with server farms all across the US. Yeah, I mean, Elon Musk should do that. Ligaricus says, "Good day, Colin Callum. I hope you're having a fantastic day today. With all the madness in the world, it helps see two sane people like you talk about it and call it all out. Really does." Yeah, I've had some very nice responses to the podcast from people I know and respect and love. And they think we're doing a great job. And one of the things they like is that this is surprisingly relaxing, which is good. Because that's what I was aiming for, even though, like, you know, we swore a bit today and we're trying not to swear.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was trying to create somewhere that was a bit more chill than Don Lemon's show.
Lemon's show looks like a stressful place to work right now.
It just looks like Nazi propaganda headquarters to me. Joe Woodland says, "When in London, he stays near where my friend works. What I hear of him is the nightmares of servant classes, like some untouchable tyrant." I assume that's talking about Jack Dorsey. Thank you, Winton 1080. Doom Goy says, "That's not fair to Hank Scorpio, man." Yeah, I mean, Hank Scorpio seems to be a bro, to be honest.
Hank Scorpio is Elon Musk.
Yes. Heathen says, "Hey, Carl, check out the video from America Uncovered called The New Wave of Communism, Critical Theory. Talks about the IT-backed authoritarianism we're seeing coming from the left wing of the USA. I think we're already on board with the thesis, to be honest. Pixel says, "I'm seeing reports that Baked Alaska was COVID positive. That's all I have to say is big disavow." Well, now I know he's got COVID. I heard that it got let off, though, which is really amusing. Like, the police were like, "Who is this idiot? What did you do when you were in Nancy Pelosi? And I crank call on a stream?"
It's just the FBI, like, not a terrorist threat.
Yeah, just idiot. Captain, we spoke to his parents and they're like, "Yes, he's our boy. Yes, he's an idiot." Captain Lutz says, "Let's make no mistake, his actions are clearly seditious. He needs to be arrested immediately." Yes, I don't know why the President of the United States would try and overthrow the government of the United States, but, you know. Snipesite says, "What do you think of Google's gaming platform Stadia?" Well, if it's owned by Google, I don't trust it. Oh, would you trust any part of the big evil tech controlling your gaming as well as your free speech? I mean, I don't.
I'm quite happy Steam is politically neutral, actually.
Yeah.
It's the last bastion of big tech that I think I still enjoy.
Yeah, the last one that I'm not making plans to get off of. Mm. MuteStream says, "I feel sorry for Jack. Tweet seems like penance." Yeah, I'm not convinced. I think that he just lies about wanting to do the right thing and then just does the wrong thing. And I don't care what pressures are being put on him. Jack, you're the one in charge. You're the one making decisions. And if you are going to make evil decisions, just don't lie about it. Just don't lie. Alexander Cross, "He's a villain, but a rather poor one. I mean, come on, build a missile base or kidnap James Bond or something." Dude, you say that, but he's managed to take this tiny platform and enthrall society to it to the point where he's now more powerful than the president. So I don't think you should underestimate Jack Dorsey's capacity as a supervillain.
Like, it's not a comic book villain, it's an evil genius, like, yeah, sincerely evil.
Exactly. And I'm not saying there's no genius there either. But,
Signal. I've banned the opposition, and now the only opposition is also me.
Well, yeah. Danimal the Bruce says, "Joined the site at £5 a month, but haven't received my Sargon Dakimakura or Gamer Man bathwater in the mail yet. Can you please rectify that?" That's right, I'll get on that.
Bath tonight, huh?
Harry Six says, "In 100 years, the records will say that Trump tried to overthrow America and evidence will be memory hold. How do we avoid becoming like Winston from 1984?
Archives.
Yeah, archive everything. Make sure that things are well documented. And, like, there are always, like, amateur documentarians who make these sort of, like, hour-long documentaries about these events. Make sure that they're made and widely spread on various alternative social media platforms. Because otherwise, you're right. They're just going to memory hole all of this, you know?
A side note, in case anyone who doesn't know how to use archives, like, archive.is has been literally
overwhelmed,
destroyed, yeah, by the last few days. Like, we're trying to archive just the occasional thing, and it takes all day to get to the front of the queue.
Yeah, well, it's like you're 4,780th in a queue.
Like, oh boy.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's not just me freaking out.
Yeah. Quiox says, "Regarding vaccine passports, don't want your channel yet. Please check tips. Thanks, Callum and Sargon, maybe." Okay, well, I don't want to get yeeted either. Ripperman says, "If you're going to use Telegram again, please turn on discussions. The comment system you're using is outdated." I don't know. I have been posting to Telegram. Kriegy Boy says, "It's a private company. You can do what it wants," said the socialist who wants you to bake the cake and says your gun holds too many bullets. Yeah, the socialist who doesn't believe in private companies and will tell private companies to do what they want. It's amazing, isn't it? The Engaged Few say it was called the 100 Flowers Campaign. Oh, I thought it was 1,000, sorry. But yes, you're right. In that vein, I think we're about to see what happens when the worst of the Cultural Revolution is directed at heavily armed populace. Interesting times. Yeah, and it's not going to be pretty. I don't relish in any way, shape, or form thinking that things are going to get bad, but I think they're going to get bad. I think that's why they're arming.
Never let them take your guns. That's the thing we always learn from the United States.
Yeah. Do not let them take your guns. 2.0 says, what I'm hearing from Jack is essentially Ve Victus, and it's absolute revelry in what he has been able to achieve, and no one can stop him. Well, yeah, I have trouble not hearing that too. John, can you scroll up, please? I have trouble not hearing that too. And his, like, false contrition is embarrassing and gross. Alexander Cross, the only thing worse about Jack lying about virtually everything he says is he does indeed believe every word. He might. But then, even then, it's up to you to become morally consistent, Jack. It's not my job to make you morally consistent. Matei Chirita says, I started spreading hard numbers and debunking fake news on social media. Friends joke that I do more journalism than the BBC. Thanks for inspiring me. You doubtless do more journalism than the BBC, and thank you very much. Mush Juices, great name, says, the most important questions to me are, what will the Twitter army's uniforms look like? As fashionable as the Nazis? I don't doubt. Doubtless he's getting this Hugo Boss uniforms in as we speak. George says, I think Jack is less ideologue, more useful idiot. Well, I don't know. I don't know. He seems
to know what's going on.
Yeah, and he seems to be at the forefront of these things. So Mix Javis says, social media and mainstream bias is clearly radicalizing people. In conversation, one of my own family was trying to justify people dying to the BLM riots. Where did ethics and morals go? Yeah, well, they've been abandoned because it's what our side does is good, what your side does is bad, and we need to win at all costs because we believe you'll treat us like we will treat you.
Human rights are less important than the social justice we will obtain, comrades.
Completely. So. In fact, social justice requires a suspension of human rights for some people. So rights become privileges
for all people, actually.
Well, yeah, but the rights...
The social, the class is more important. Yes.
Rights become privileges for certain social classes. 2.0 says, the great dial-up forward. the alternativist says, may you live in interesting times, may you come to the attention of authority, may the gods give you all you ask for. Ancient Chinese curse, allegedly.
Well, thanks for cursing us.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Sam Ewell says, given recent mask-off propaganda, are the eaters aware of Obama's repealing of the Smith-Mundt Act, passed to protect citizens from exactly this? No, we're not.
I'll Google it.
Alexander Cross, Facebook loses more because its population is mostly a bunch of boomers.
I will duck-duck-go it.
Possibly. Yep.
Why is this Google?
Colts Warowith says, C.S. Lewis' lecture series, The Abolition of Man, is an excellent commentary on today's culture, and is one of his lectures that is not religious. I highly recommend it. We get recommended that a lot. So I'm going to have to go into that.
Sorry, what was that?
The Abolition of Man. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Stephen Knizik says, speaking as a Californian who joined the diaspora on New Year's, I'm already glad for the move. The other states don't deserve my state's lunacy. There was an article that I was reading just before we went live about more businesses fleeing California for Texas. You get what you deserve. Deplorable Pirate Captain. Imagine being the poor person running the account of Smokey the Bear on Twitter. All the horned up furries. That's disgusting. Guitar Operator. Why would I want to imagine that? Guitar Operator. Dorsey is insane if he genuinely believes people can't see his hypocrisy. Will Twitter still be relevant without Trump? Yep, they'll find their new victim. Twitter will become a hate-inciting echo chamber, like it already is.
To be honest, I kind of feel worse for Tony the Tiger, like the guy who has to run that account.
Oh, God, I don't know. The internet was a mistake.
Yep.
Joan Bathory says, ahoy, hoy, Sargon & Co. How long do you think the persecution of conservatives and wrongthinkers will remain digital? Ever since the MAGA supporter was shot in Portland, I've had a very bad feeling. Not very long. Once you've all been deplatformed from social media and they've destroyed every platform that would host you, then you'll end up taking to the streets, because where else will you be able to have your voice heard? And then they'll be like, oh my God, look at the Nazis out in the streets. They're armed as well. Quick, we need to do something about that. And things will continue to escalate. It will be bad. I'm not looking forward to any of this, and I hope that I'm wrong. Trebacious T says, I appreciate your endorsements of the other left-wing media, so your audience isn't locked into an echo chamber. I admit I'm bad at this, since I can't shake the feeling that these people hate me. Not good, I know. Any advice? Do something that's not politics is definitely an option. Like, you know, try not to stay in the political stew all day like we do, because it's not good.
When I go home at the moment, I'm working on like Soviet space history, things like that.
Yeah.
Just take my mind off it.
Yeah. I'm just reading philosophy, you know, like just doing other stuff, not political. Rex Familia Vitio says, when interning for Taliban Jack, Jack must have sampled much of the poppy fields. Yeah.
The fine connoisseur by that beard.
Yeah. Wild Be Here, Sina Delenda Est. I think it's the CCP Delenda Est, really. Guitar operator, Jack, just go to another service. Also, Jack, accept my main competitors. I'm going to destroy them. So Think Like Us will be banished. Yeah, that's better. Absolute clown. Yep. Daniel J. Karika says, there are at least five people blowing ram horns like at the walls of Jericho during our siege videos on my YouTube channel here. Here is hashtag tea time. Right, so Daniel J. Karika. Jacob Cantrell, my wife and good friend have both told me they're a private company, but did you see the garbage on Parler? I'm glad it's gone. Just, it's a private company. Is that not a good enough answer? How can they not see what horrors will result in this? Keep up the good work. And I saw what they were saying on Parler. It's nowhere near as bad as what is said on Twitter on a daily basis. Claire DeLuna says, one lady died because of the crowd crush during the riot. Jeremy Lee Quinn covered it on Brett's Dark Horse podcast. Cops pushed them into a wall somehow. Yeah.
Tristel Gillum.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is it? Right, okay.
Tristan Gillum.
They talk about it like they were the Spartans at Thermopylae, holding the line against the Persian horde, the difference being the Spartans were based. Honestly, the Spartans weren't so terribly different from the Democrats in many ways. I'm just going to leave that hot take out in the air for people to get annoyed by and comment on. They are massively, massively overhyping this. Alexander Lund, the greatest con of the last decade is multinational corporations convincing people they're on their side, and the left has fallen for it. Yeah, it's embarrassing. Like, the corporations do not have your interests at heart. They wish to turn you into serfs because that's cheaper for them and guarantees a consumer base. Person of the Svatinek, say, $5, thank you very much. Intentionally Blank says, not wanting to see your government turn into an authoritarian leftist dictatorship is now considered white supremacy. Pray for the United States. I'm an atheist, but I am. Fidadio McDonald says, I was there, hundreds of thousands of us could have burned the entire capital down if we'd wanted. Instead, a few dozen idiots stormed the building while 99% of us stayed outside and peacefully waved our Trump flags, which is what Trump asked for. Tyler says, everyone remember when Democrat congresswomen wore their white, not KKK outfits to the State of the Union in 2019? But they aren't the white party.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that very well. The Engaged View says, Suzanne Roseberg wasn't charged with sedition, and she set off a bomb in the Senate chambers in 1983. She was pardoned by Clinton in 2001. Yeah, we covered it the other day on the podcast. Somehow not sedition. Blowing up the Senate chamber. Charlie the Beagle says, a lot of social problems would be resolved if all social media was gotten rid of. Call me a Luddite, but smartphones are the worst creation man has ever made. It's not necessarily the smartphone. It's the social media platforms that we access through the smartphone. But yes, social media is definitely not made things better. But I mean, maybe it's just increasing the speed with which natural processes happen. And that's my theory on it. Alexander Cross, their paranoia will be their doom. That's correct. Why are we listening to me? I can hear myself in the background. Lord Rhino says, Biden's takeover of the Republic is very similar to Palpatine's takeover of the Republic. Yes.
He's called in his clone troopers.
Yeah, he's called in his troopers, and he'll be announcing the first American Empire. Page in PA says, PA is closing all state offices in Harrisburg, state capital, on the 19th and 20th. Wonder if other states are doing the same. Well, who knows? W. Bishop says, those are not National Guard, but the United States quantum soldiers. Look at these crack troops ready to invade your quarks, you know, for oil. okay. I guess. Alexander Cross. Q sounds like Star Trek technobabble, and it sounds reasonable only because they're so intensely and thoroughly fight it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It does sound like Star Trek technobabble, and it means nothing to me. Like, we're fighting the quantum lovers. Okay, whatever. Ligaricus, leftist, who radicalized you, rightist, comes in close and whispers, you did. All I ever wanted was to play video games. Yes, I feel the pain. Platypi Pope says, greetings from Australia, Carl and Co. A completely unrelated question in the video, but what do you think the best Roman emperor was?
Surely Caesar.
He wasn't an emperor.
I thought he was.
No.
No?
Merely dictator for life.
Oh, okay.
Augustus was the first person we'd consider to be an emperor who succeeded
Caesar.
Who's
your best? Because you'd know, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, it depends what your standards are, really, doesn't it? Like, you know, what is it you're looking for in an emperor?
Nero.
then Nero's the best one. I don't know. Hey, Trajan was pretty good. Joe Woodland says, not supporting civil war, but realistically, how strategically valuable is DC anyways? Move troops from other areas nationally and encircle yourself. Yeah, well, I don't even want to speculate on the podcast.
You missed one. Alexander Cross, the top economist that I can afford.
Yeah.
You're giving them 2 stacks, so don't worry.
Top economists that agreed with me have said. Daniel J. Carica says, I've been trying to participate in some discussions on Twitter, but it's like a sober person arguing with a drunk person. You're not going to get anywhere and you will just get annoyed afterwards. Dude, that's exactly how I feel. I've been doing the same on Facebook, trying to argue with like people who uncritically believe the mainstream narrative. And it really is like talking to people who are just completely flat out drunk and unable to understand what you're saying to them. Zios says, Zal Biden saw the Hunger Games and thought, yeah, that's a good idea. I actually haven't seen the Hunger Games.
Should. It's a good laugh.
Oh, is it? Antres says, were the prep people right all along building bunkers and stacking food and arms? Well, yeah.
Whoever said they were wrong?
Yeah, who said they were wrong? Lancelot asks, are there any plans to make an app for LotusEater.com? Maybe at some point when we're a bit more established. Mr. Tucker says, we have top men on it. Who? Top men. Alexander Cross says, if Don Lemon or anyone on CNN embraced ethics, they'd collapse into a black hole. Yes, they would. The Shadow Blade says, you should read The Ominous Parallels by Leonard Peikoff. It's written in the 80s and is coming true. I have read The Ominous Parallels by Leonard Peikoff, and I did a video on this called Nazis Are Bad back in like 2017. And
was that really the title?
Yeah. But it was at the time when the alt-right was starting to come to prominence, and they were like, oh, everyone's a Nazi. It's like, okay, well, I think Nazis are bad. Here are the reasons.
What's the book about?
Well, it's about the ominous parallels between the United States and the Germany leading up to the fall of the Weimar Republic. And to be honest with you, he's not wrong. I agree that he's not wrong. I'll probably have to reread it, actually, because it's been a few years since I've read it. But as I recall, he was basically saying that the society moving in the direction that is subverted by communism, as in away from the sort of classically liberal model of government, where it's minimal government, to the formulation of the state being the arbiter of rights and the state being able to just give you money willy-nilly with no particular consequences, this is how you end up in the sort of death spiral in the Weimar Republic and attacking the culture. And this starts the rise of the Nazis. And like, he's not wrong, but anyway, Joe Black must have something big on Don Lemon. What do we do as atheists if it's a spiritual battle? Spencer loves the CCP, loves power and control. Yes, he does. Well, I mean, you can still be spiritual if you're not religious. Again, like when they say spiritual, you don't have to take that as meaning otherworldly. I think there is a way of interpreting this that is kind of about your sense of self and your sense of the importance of other people. In viewing the world in a way that's not scientific, that is more sort of humanistic and human. I'm going to go into it a different time because it'll take too long now. But there is an interpretation that an atheist can adopt. George says, Don Lemon, who called all white men terrorists. He didn't call all white men terrorists. He just said that white men are the biggest terror threat in the United States.
And then the Summer of Love happened.
And then, yeah, the Summer of Love happened. Thunderstorm, Richard Spencer, has stated he's a socialist. Yes. Circus Monkey Mafia. Jade Stacker's professional bio had the line, my work's intended to create evidence, before she deleted the line last night. Daniel J. Carica says the Olive Garden and Holiday Inn comments were meant to be an insult. They were. You plebs going to your pleb, like, yeah, Olive Garden, Holiday Inn, and your pleb activities. It's like
Don Lemon, he goes to the Paris Hilton, don't worry.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He goes to all of the top hotels, you know? Anyway, Alexander Cross, you know he's a nutter because Fredo is the calm, soft-spoken voice of reason. That's the N-word for my people, damn it, Alexander. Matthew says, have you seen that people are losing their insurance because of their political beliefs? I have not seen that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Person of the Year, Svatinek, says, if you want unity, you need to join MAGA. That's the only way. Well, that's literally their argument, isn't it? If you want unity, you need to do exactly as we say. That's the only way. No, not Heisenberg says, good morning from California. Finally got up early. Good morning and thank you. Bucks fan says, every moral supremacist Democrat supports any time, any reason, on-demand abortion. What do they have? Where do they have the balls to claim they have higher morals? 41 million. I assume that's the number of abortions that have happened over the time abortion has been legal. Stetson's Gold, Don Lemon, stubborn and brave. But that's a good question, Bucks fan. Nathan says CNN did 1/6, I guess. Stuart McLean, Elon Musk is African-American. Don Lemon is not. Go figure. Jimmy White, I pasted the comment 12 times on a Facebook live stream. 8 went against community standards. I challenged them. 1 was overturned, but the other 7 were not. They're all the exact same. I have a 30-day suspension. Thoughts? There's no consistent standard at all, and we should stop trying to look for one.
But document that. Put it somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Be funny.
Mitigo says, does anyone know what happened to Crowder? No, what has happened to Crowder?
What, is he banned?
I don't know. Has he posted anything? When was the last time he did like a stream? Or
I assumed he was fine, or he's disappeared. Do you want to
just quickly see the last time he streamed or whatever? All right. So I've had a few people ask me this, and I didn't know what to make of it. Thug Life Bear says, my ancestors are smiling at me. Can you say the same? Well, I hope so. Mute stream. Been a while, so here's a drink for Hugo. Thank you. Political Pothead says, Don Lemon is a privileged elitist, but his rant epitomizes projection. Did you see him smirk when he said concentration camp? He knows that's his side. Yes, he does. Daniel says, you expect this from the Nazis. You do know that Hitler sought to the Democratic Party to the implement their looked to the Democratic Party to implement their segregation policies. He was impressed with the way the Democrats did things, wasn't he? As I understand it. Ryan Caulfield, I can't pronounce that, Hasa Diga Iboai, is from the musical of the Book of Mormon. I have seen, actually, which means F God in the butt. Previous commentator saying he has... Right, okay. All right. Ryan Caulfield.
Crowder hasn't streamed for like a month.
Hasn't he?
Don't know why. There doesn't seem to be any indication.
What's he put up? Has he put up anything?
No, just like the last video I did was the best bits of 2020.
That was a month ago.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe something personal. I don't want to speculate.
I don't know. But King of the Universe says, have any of you guys ever written any of these news agencies to bring attention to the falsehoods they spew? Is it deliberate lies or are they stuck in an echo chamber? I can't tell.
Deliberate,
yeah. No question in my mind. Paul A. says, there won't be a civil war. It'll be right-wing group is labeled domestic terrorist, then taken out by the feds. Repeat. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. Reverend Dave says Silicon Valley thinks they are Leto II, but they're just Harkonnens. They're the puppets of the most malevolent, honored matres. Rumpley Depuy says for $50 as well. Thank you. Greetings from your Mexican American, aka alt white fan. I don't think booting the Trumpists from social media is enough. They will still be thinking Trumpist things. We need to make them wear a T or a tattoo or something. Exactly. Mute stream, simple.
I love the term alt-white. I don't know why, I just find that funny.
It's just ridiculous.
But sort of makes fun of the alt-right, yeah.
Simple's real sorry, Iron Gamer, you're not winning. Okay. Davey Jojo says, my mother legit believes everyone who voted to leave did it for racist reasons, for leaving a trade union. My face when I'm talking to a wall. Yeah. Andrew Montague says, Jack Dorsey is basically the version of Superman in the Injustice games. He thinks that he can save the world by controlling it. They all do. That's exactly it. They think they can save the world by controlling it. And the more people resist, the more control they need. Bob Obb says, one of the things I'm willing to compromise with the left over is that a lot of this chaos is economic in origin. These SJW types don't own any property and thus turn to radicalism. Sure, I can agree with that as well. Jaffo on the Bound says Arnold Schwarzenegger is a hypocrite. What sounds more likely? What happened to the summer or what happened at the Capitol? Yep. Thunderstorm says insane socialists calling everyone else Nazis. Yes. Socialist problems is what we're dealing with here. Loyal Suspect says just curious if you're able to upgrade our membership on the site instead of cancelling and resubscribing to a higher tier. I can't seem to figure it out, and thank you all for the great content. Keep my mind going during the endless hours on the road. Thank you for the $50. I don't know.
Being told apparently you do it through manage plan on the profile page. Should be able to. If not, I guess contact at lotusears.com if there's a bug there.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll do our best to fix it in the back. Terra Toddler says Rome better than Greece changed my mind. Obviously. No, I do change your mind. Wait, no, you're wrong. Wrong. Zeranax says
the Greeks are clearly inferior.
If they were inferior, why were the Romans busy employing them to do all the intellectual work they needed done?
Well, if they were superior, how come they got conquered?
Damn.
If Albert Einstein was so smart, how come he's dead?
I don't know. He's not that smart. Zorax, can you do a new Cyberpunk campaign? I'm not liking this one. Oh, I wish I could, man. I wish I had the time. Political pothead, why doesn't the left pick up identity politics, ramps up, and becomes more mainstream after a financial crisis? Corporations use it to distract from class issues. Yes, yes, that's exactly right. Thunderstorm, nationalism is love, and we're going to have to go now, so we'll try and get through a couple more.
So, Brando Commando, this entire podcast, just an angry Northerner noises, hashtag London is Britain.
Yep. Just to address Thunderstorm, right, I would recommend our premium book club on George Orwell's Notes on Nationalism, because what you mean is patriotism is love, I think. Nationalism can also, in a way, be described to radical power-seeking factions like the Democrats. Anyway, they have preconceived notion of you and your arguments in their head and default to canned responses instead of actually hearing what you're saying, you know, like NPCs. Yeah, it is genuine programming at this point. Mobs says, you should use your knowledge of history and philosophy to write an atheist Bible and help young atheists find spirituality that isn't Marxist.
That's like saying a Marxist company.
Yeah, a small order, I guess. Political pothead, Crowder always takes the month of January off. Right, okay, I didn't realize that.
Fair enough then.
Dude Guy McPants, kindly needs to buy Dr. Brown's anti-colic bottles. My son had problems being burped and GI problems made it terrible, and we couldn't sleep. We supplemented mum milk with formula using these bottles. Problem solved. I'll see what we can do. How come the MSM only reports about when black guns shoot people? Sounds a bit biased. And Ryan Caulfield, sorry for my last confusing super chat. I realize it was too long after the comment I was referencing. Right, well, thank you everyone for joining us. We will have we'll have weekend podcasts that I believe are being hosted by Josh this weekend that will be up tomorrow and on Sunday. And of course, we will be back on Monday, 1 p.m. UK time for the podcasts next week. In the meantime, if you want to support us, you can become a member on loadseats.com and get access to our premium content, be able to comment on the site and read and enjoy all of the things that we also do that are outside the podcast. And thank you again, and we'll see you next week.